If not for his mercy, it would never have been possible. So let's just give him praise. He said in his word, he said, I wish above all things that thou prospereth and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. And we thank God that he has been giving us all-round prosperity, all-round success, spiritual and body, in this assembly. Let's give him thanks. Let us exalt him. Let's magnify his holy name. Thank him. Thank him. Say, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And I know that he is here right now. Let us thank him and magnify his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Lord, we come boldly into your presence today, thanking you for your faithfulness. Thanking you for your faithfulness. Thanking you for your ever-abiding presence. Thank you that we are in the sanctuary. We are not in the mortuary. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We exalt you. We thank you, awesome God. Be glorified. Be magnified. Be exalted. Be lifted high. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for every family represented here. Thank you for this assembly. Thank you for this body of Christ. Thank you for the nation of Sweden. We give you glory and praise. Be exalted, Lord. Be magnified, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Father, Lord, as we look into your word, open our eyes of understanding to behold wondrous things out of your law today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let your word transform us today, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The word of God says, as we behold him as in a mirror, we are changed, we are transformed from glory to glory. Lord, that word that we cause the transformation in our lives today, let it come in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God said there was nothing that was made without the word. Lord, the word that will make us, let it come our way today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let your name be glorified. Hallelujah. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Better for Jesus. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah to Jesus. I want us to welcome ourselves into his presence again. Tell your neighbor you are welcome in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so we continue quickly with the series of our teaching. Remember, the prophetic focus for the month is spirituality is profitable in the kingdom. Hello? And like we said, to be spiritual does not necessarily mean that you are religious. In fact, religiosity or to be religious simply means to be full of activities or trying to make God to accept your ways. Not necessarily doing things God's way. And so God did not call us into religion. He called us into reality. And we said to be spiritual simply means to live a life that is compliant with the word of God, according to the word of God. To live a word-ruled life in such a way that the word of God is what determines what we do and what we don't do. Not our culture, not our position, not our status, not whether we are male or female, but our lives are conditioned or are in line with the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. And after that, we also tried last week to make us understand that when the word of God says that above all things, that our soul has to prosper, we try to look at the position of the soul and trying to divide the man into three parts, which is the spirit, soul, and body, and to see the importance of the prosperity of our soul. And so today, quickly, we want to look at how to enrich our mind for maximum productivity. Thank you, Jesus. Because you cannot separate a sound mind from a sound life. Even in the natural, in and outside the kingdom of God, the issue of soundness of the mind is so important. There is no way a man or woman can ever rise beyond the level of the soundness of his mind. Thank you, Jesus. And you remember that last week we said that the mind is at the center of the soul, isn't it? Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your will is the part of your soul that you use in taking decisions. You say, I want to wear suit today, or I want to wear black today, I want to wear white shirt today, I want to, whichever color you want to wear. You use your will to take decision. But your mind is the center of knowledge. Hello? Or your intellect, where you process knowledge, or you process information. And your emotion is your feeling. And so, we want to look at the place of the mind today. When the Bible talks about the having the mind of Christ, what does it really mean to have the mind of Christ? Thank you, Jesus. And I want us to understand that armed robbers are not born. They are made. Hello? There is no baby that is just born immediately now that from heaven that was labeled an armed robber. Hello? It is a process. Something happened that made that person an armed robber. Terrorists. Harlots are not born to be harlots. Nobody is born to be a harlot. Nobody is born to be a terrorist. They are being made to become that. And that's why we have to look at the source of or what shapes or what determines where we end up in life. Thank you, Jesus. What are we trying to talk about? The position of our mind is so important to the extent that in that scripture, let's go back there. 1 John, which is the anchor scripture for the month. 1 John, yes. 1 John, not the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, which is the anchor scripture. Are we there?
Yeah.
First John, are we there?
Yeah.
It should be chapter 4. Yeah. Sorry. Third epistle of John. I think I mixed it up. Yeah. Not the gospel, epistle. That's the anchor scripture for the month. The third John, it has only one chapter. In verse 1, it said, the elder unto the well-beloved girls, said, whom I love in truth, said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He said, the prosperity, your all-round prosperity is anchored around the prosperity of your soul. And like we said, you cannot separate a sound or prosperous soul from a prosperous life. Hello? When you see a child that is doing well, it's in the school, at school, they say, oh, that child is intelligent, isn't it? It simply means that his mind is working well. And so, both in and outside the kingdom, like we said, the soundness of our mind or our soul is so important. And there is no way a nation or an entity can ever rise beyond the level of prosperity or how the level at which his mind is working. When you see somebody that is wallowing in lack and want or in living a chaotic life, the simple thing is that it's not organized in his mind. Hallelujah. And so the place of the mind is so important that the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we there? It's on the screen. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. He said, eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. Verse 7 said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he today, but his heart is not with thee. But what I want to bring out of it is that the way you think is what you become. You cannot be thinking in this particular pattern and become something else. It's not possible. Hello? So how you think determines where you will end up. Hallelujah. This is so important. Thank God we like prayer. But prayer alone, like somebody said, praying without planning is playing without knowing. You can pray like praying mantis. If you are not thinking well, you cannot end well. But as for you, you will end well in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is breathing upon your reasoning faculty today in the name of Jesus Christ. Every invention that you see today in the world is a product of the use of the mind. When God created man and put Adam and Eve in the garden, did he give them chair to sit down? No. He didn't give them that. Because the chairs were already hidden in the trees. He expected them to use their mind to bring out the chairs from the trees by cutting the trees and forming the chairs from it. God did not give us cars. Mercedes were not present in the Garden of Eden. But he gave us something called iron ore in the ground that he buried there. And he expected us to use our mind to get it out and form it into a car. God did not give them aeroplane. But the aeroplane was in the aluminium under the ground there. Hallelujah. Everything he gave them in potential form. Hallelujah. If they had to use their mind to bring it out. The same way, that place, that promised land that God has given you, he has given it to you in a potential form. And you have to use your mind properly to get it out and lay hold on it. But as the Lord lives today, the Lord is breathing afresh upon your reasoning faculty in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the difference between a failure and a success is the use of your mind? The prodigal son used his mind to wander away. Thank God we acted it during the Father's Day program. I still watch the movies that Brackley sent to us. The prodigal son abused his mind. He misused his mind to take himself from the source of his greatness. But do you know that it was still the proper use of his mind that led to his restoration? He sat down and he said, why can I continue to eat with these pigs? Why can't that looking back at my father's house, even the slaves are living in a better life. Why can't I go back and even be, it's better to be a slave in my father's house than to be begging here and be eating with pigs? And he used his mind, he reasoned his way back to his promised land. As the Lord liveth, the Lord is empowering you to reason your way to your promised land this year in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 17. Matthew 15, 17, he said, do not yet ye understand, that's Jesus speaking, that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the trough. But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart or from your mind, and they defy the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. He said, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. You know, the scenario here was that, you know, the Israelis, they have this ceremonial law that they don't eat with the Gentiles, and especially when somebody doesn't wash his hands. Hallelujah. If it is this day, then they won't go to a restaurant. Because if you are in the Burger King or whatever, you don't need to wash your hands, isn't it? And so, Jesus was telling them that it's not something that you eat that makes you sin. It is what proceeds out of your heart that contaminates you. And so, like I said at the beginning, that armed robbers are not born, they are made. Murderers,
It is the thought, how the thought, they use their mind to become more than as they were made. You know, I was in a meeting, I think that was Wednesday or Thursday, and I was discussing with some people. There was a concern. I was privileged to relate with some guys, especially two of them, and I knew them about 2 years ago. They were wonderful workers, you know, with working with dedication and doing everything right. But suddenly, they became rebellious. And at the point, I was telling the people, I said, when I knew these guys 2 years ago, they were not like this. Something must have happened that made rebellious people out of them. It is the way you have treated them. Hallelujah. You can have a wonderful husband, a wonderful wife. If you maltreat him, some years down the line, you say, no, but this is not the same. Was it the same girl that was running after a few years ago? Remember, I paused the mighty name of Jesus now. And so Jesus said that it is the thought that produced, that made a murderer out of a man. It is his thoughts, his mind, that make him an adulterer. Because there are no one that commit, adultery. What is it called? Does it happen by chance? Will somebody wake up sleep in his cell and say, okay, he find himself bam, in the hotel as a harlot? It's not possible. She must have used her mind to say, okay, I need money now, and I can't wait enough or endure enough to work. I want to go and sell my body. And so, for someone to become a prostitute or somebody to commit that sin, he must have passed through the mind. Fornication, theft, stealing. All manner of things. It's not of the use of the mind. Thank you, Jesus. Know that a prosperous soul is a sound mind. Or in essence, what we call the mind of Christ. When God created man, his mind was so sound. To the extent that if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 2, you remember that the Bible said God created, when he finished the creation, he brought everything to Adam to name them. And Bible said his mind was so sound to the extent that every name that he gave them was the name that God wanted to give them. Can you name ordinarily 10 birds within 1 second? You will see how you'll be doing, how you'll be talking. That is to tell you how sound his mind was in the garden. Scientists told us that we even have maybe up to 1 million species of even insects. But this man named everything, both mammals and everything, correctly. And Bible said, whatsoever name he gave them was the name that God intended. That was to tell you how sound his mind was. Thank you, Jesus. What we're trying to talk about is that you can never separate a successful life from a successful mind. No wonder the Bible said that we should watch our heart with all diligence, because out of it proceed all the issues of life. Before we go to that, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Bible said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of sound mind. Because God knows that we need a sound mind to live. Without a sound mind, you can't have a sound life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3 said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me pause there. You know, because when we are praying, we like religion. We like fabricated demons that are not existing. And the devil is happy doing that, because he knows that when you try and pray, we are talking about strongholds. We used to think about all these small, small, small demons like monkeys that are jumping. No. That's not what the scripture is saying. We are just manufacturing that from our hearts. He said, to the pulling down of strongholds. What are those strongholds? Are they demons? No, they are mindsets, the pattern of thoughts. Let me give you a very simple example. I was speaking with a man, very elderly man, maybe around between 60 and 70. And he was a diehard supporter of something that is happening in Nigeria at the moment, the issue of Biafra thing. And I used to see him around with the cap and whatever. And so when I saw him during the week, I told him, I said, have you heard about the prayer for Nigeria that was, organized, that want to pray for Nigeria for 3 hours through Pastor Adeboye ministry, and that people in diaspora and Nigeria, people will gather to pray for Nigeria. And I took it from the scripture, minute by minute, going from Genesis to Revelation to different areas to explain to him why we need to take hold of God to help us to lead our nation to the next level. And you know, after explaining everything, he was just nodding his head, yes, yes, in approval. But after I finished everything, just when we were about to depart, he said, but you know, you are talking about prayer, but you know, do you know that most of those big pastors, they belong to occult? And I said, so what you are saying in essence is that we should not pray for Nigeria because you think that the one that is organizing it belongs to occult. You see, he tore down everything by his mind. Hallelujah. He tore it down within 1 second by the use of his mind, because he believes, or he was mentally caged to believe that when somebody is successful in the ministry, he must have been using evil power. That those are strongholds that it takes the power of God to pull it down. Hallelujah to Jesus. Our mind is so important. Do you know that if the brothers of Joseph knew that that would be their saviors many years to come, that would save them from hunger, they would have prayed for him better instead of attacking him. Hello? Some people are sitting next to the one that God will use to take them to the next level, but because of ignorance, they are attacking him or attacking her with the use of the mind. May God help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so he said, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. I mean, they're not physical. You cannot shoot down an idea with gun or with machine gun. It takes the weapon, the mighty weapon of the word of God, to bring it down. He said, casting down imagination. What is imagination? Image formation in the heart, in the mind. They talk about prosperity. Instantly, somebody will say, oh, this is not for me, because money is evil. And instantly, he deleted himself from those that will be entrusted with the wealth from heaven for their kingdom advancement. So, the use of your mind, both in the kingdom and outside the kingdom, you can never rise above the level of the advancement of your mind. And that's why God wants us to take care of our heart. He said, casting down imagination and every thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know that right from the day when God spoke to Abraham that his children will be will be in foreign land for 4 generations, God already purchased the deliverance for these people right there. But did they get there? They perished in the wilderness. Not because God didn't want to take them there, but because their grasshopper mentality couldn't fit into the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Like I said last week, when somebody sent you to go and spy the land, you are the one that brought the report that the land was flowing with milk and honey. It is natural for those that are dwelling in that place to be tall and be big. Hallelujah. Have you not noticed that when you look at our appearance, in terms of how fresh they are and whatever, and the children that we are giving birth to now, because we are eating better food, really, we look, fresh. Hello? Did you get it? What I'm trying to bring about. If you look at a child at 14 or 13 now, and you look at a child of 13 or 14, maybe 100 years back behind, maybe in Africa, they don't look like this. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm trying to drive at is that do not play with the issue of your mind. Thank you, Jesus. What does the word of God say? In Proverbs chapter 4, He said, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. Say, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He said, don't play with your heart. Because that is where the issue of life proceeds. Like Jesus said, that fornicators, adulterers, liars, and all manner of evildoers. It is not because they are born to be evil. It's a product of the way they have been thinking. Like we said, armed robbers are not born, they are made. I've repeated it many times here, if you remember, that do you know in the old time they will tell you that, well, this boy is not doing well in school. Let him drop out. If they say he's not good in physics, why will still go to a lab motor mechanic and electronics? And the professor that is a professor of electronics is radio we have issue. He will still take him to that person that they say his head is not working. Who is lying? Hello? The professor of mechanical engineering that will still take his car to that man that will service it for him. Hello? It's the mind. Romans chapter 12. As we try to round up. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Said, do not conform to the shape of this world, the thinking. Because if you think the way of the world, you will be acting like the world and you will end up like the world system. And so he said, I beg you, brethren, by the mercy of God, said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. He said, do not conform. To conform means that to comply with the form of a particular thing. If you put your cake into a mold that is circular, it will come out as a circular cake, isn't it? So he was telling them, I said, do not reason or do not think the way of this world. Because if you think the way of this world, you will end up like this world, and you are not created like to be like the nature of this world. Because the Bible said that we are in the world, we are not of the world. Don't think the way of the world. If you think the way of the world, you will end up the way the world will end. You won't end in destruction in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But he said, give us the secret. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you have your driver's license that lasts for 5 years, if you want to renew it, you take it to them, isn't it? And you get a new one. The one that you are holding that is old is no more functioning. And God is telling you that the old one, the old way that you are following is no more functioning. Drop it and get the new one. No matter how intelligent you are, no matter how careful or how perfect you are in driving, if your license expires, are you allowed to drive with it? You become a criminal. The same way, if you come to the kingdom of God, you have to reason God's way. Let's go to Matthew. Thank you, Jesus. I'm believing the Holy Spirit to help us to see this reality, because this is the secret of the kingdom. The collection of your thoughts or your idea will give birth to your what? Your habit. Isn't it? Your habit give birth to your character. Hello? And your character takes you to your destiny.
So you can never see someone that is thinking negatively that will end up in the positive side. It's not possible. It's never possible. You can never see somebody with grasshopper mentality that will ever be dwelling in the promised land or in the mountain, because it will end up going back to the valley where it belongs to. That is why if you take a man from the ghetto, you put him in the palace, he will still go back to the ghetto, because he will turn the palace to a ghetto by the use of his mind. Hello? So no matter how much you give someone that is not good at management, for example, give him all the resources of this world, he will still end up in penury. Because it is not because of any devil per se, but because of his inability to use his mind. Hallelujah. And that's why one of the greatest assets we can give our children is to develop, to help them develop their mind, to send them to school. Hello? Yoruba people say that a child that, the house that we build at the expense of training our child, that child will end up sending up that building. Isn't it? Why? Because his mind, he won't be able to manage it. He will end up selling it and mortgaging it for something. Hallelujah. Amen. So both inside and outside the kingdom, the issue of the soundness of the mind is so important. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Matthew chapter 6. Jesus had an encounter with his disciples here. And in verse 9, the Bible said, thank you, Jesus. Are we there? You know, they came to ask him to teach them how to pray. And he didn't say, you guys, you've been following me for years. Why don't you know how to pray? He said, after this manner, that's it, Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So when you want to pray, the first thing you should do is to hallow God or worship God. Because that will take you into his presence. The key that unlocks his presence is worship, isn't it? And thank God that in the presence of God, the gatekeepers are angels, so you can't bribe them. And you can't bribe your way in. The only key that unlocks, if you don't have the key to a place, even if you are the owner, you drop your key with your child and he's outside in the field playing basketball. You don't have the key. Can you enter? Even if you hit your head on the wall, it won't make any difference. You will still end up with bruises. You need the key. So God, Jesus was telling that the key that takes you to his presence, where everything is available, where all things are ready, is what? To hallow him. To worship him as your Father. So the next thing is, he said, thy kingdom come. Pray that the kingdom of God comes to this earth. Why? He said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because when God made man, his intention right from the beginning was for the expansion of his kingdom, isn't it? For him to duplicate heaven on earth. And so his plan was that his will be done here. And so his will cannot be done without the use of the mind. That's what I'm trying to get at now. Hello? The will of God cannot be done here without the use of the mind of men. Because in Genesis chapter 1, let's go there quickly, where we are still holding on to that Matthew. I want us to understand something. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, see, and God said, thank you, Lord. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And mankind have dominion. So he set up a law that says that every being that does not, who is not called human, does not have the right to do anything here. And that's why when a human being dies, he has to leave. Because spirit cannot build house. Hello? Spirit without a body cannot operate here. And so, for God to extend his kingdom to this earth, he needs human being or man with body.
And how will he do it? Through the use of their minds. That was why Jesus said, pray that thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And so, when our mind is not in alignment with heaven, there is nothing God can get done, can do here. Because he won't bypass human being. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when we're talking about soundness of mind, we are talking about the establishment of the will of God here on earth. In Philemon chapter 1 and in verse 14, Philemon, he said, but without thy mind would I do nothing. God cannot do anything without your mind. God is not a devil. He won't force you. Hello? He said that thy benefits should not be as it were of necessity but willingly. That's why no matter how much you give to God, if it's not from a willing heart, what did the Bible say? It's a waste. It's like it would have been better you go and use that money to eat than to give offering when you're not willing. That's why when you go to a place where they are ham twisting you, oh, if you don't give now, hey, offering basket is passing, oh, you won't make it again. It's a lie. Because God does not lead people to pressure. No. He leads you beside the still waters. He wants you to give lovingly because you love him, because you willingly want to give him. Thank you, Jesus. And so, the issue of will, our will has to align with the will of heaven for God to achieve what he wants to achieve here. Even in the natural. There was a time, I did one subject in the university then, in Uppsala. They said, they call it appropriate technology. And we studied a scenario where they constructed a particular kind of cooking material for some tribe in India. Because they discovered that in that area, they were felling down the wood, calling it down, and it's leading to desertification. So they wanted to encourage them to stop felling down the wood so that they can use something to cook that will preserve the forest. And so they gave it to them for free, but they discovered they were not using it. What happened? Why would somebody get something for free and not still use it? They went into another level of research. And they discovered that kind of stove, especially that tribe, whenever they want to gather together, they always use the opportunity of cooking time. It's like fellowship time for the family where the mother, the father, everybody sits down to talk. And so that stove deprived them of opportunity to fellowship together. And they were collecting it. They won't tell you they won't use it. They were collecting it, but they were not using it. And they discovered that no matter what you want to do for your people, no matter how advanced or how good the technology is, when the people refuse to accept it willingly, it doesn't make anything good for them. Jesus died for the whole world. Why are people not saved today? Because their mind has not convinced them that the price has been paid for their sin. And so they are still wallowing in sin. Some we go to hell because of that. Not because of the sin that they committed per se, because Jesus already paid the price for it. And so when you go from street to street and you tell them, but you don't have to suffer again. You don't have to pay for this sin again because it has been paid for. His mind telling him that, no, I don't want it. That was why the scripture wrote that if this gospel be hid, it is hid from those who's the God of this world as well. He has blindfolded them from it. Their mind refused to accept it. There is nothing you can give a man until his mind accepts it. What are we talking about today? Give attention. Thank God we've been talking about the spirit, and even our bodies. Like we said last Sunday, when Peter was advising, he said, thank God for our women. And we're talking to men as well. Don't give attention to your body at the expense of your inner man. Hello? Because of what use is a man that is dressing with the most expensive suit and is on the expressway to hell? Hello? That's why the Bible said that I wish above all things that thou prospereth and be in here, even as thy soul prospereth. It has to be the genuine prosperity that is from God, spirit, soul, and body. Because if your soul is not prospering, you will walk away from God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me just give us some examples before we pray. Thank you, Lord. We have seen, like I said, people in and outside the kingdom that excelled as a result of the proper use of their minds. Let's look at the example of Moses. Moses, when he was born, the circumstances that surrounded his birth and everything, he would have ended up as a failure. Because even as merely being born as a Jewish boy at that time put you at a risk. Because of the hatred of the king for them, he said that every child that is born, one it is a male, kill them. And so the mama gave birth to this boy and said, no, I want to keep this boy. He's so handsome. So it's so wonderful. And so he had every reason to accept the status quo. But as a result of the proper use of his mind, he refused to be under. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. He said, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, they're talking about the book that Moses wrote, the veil is upon their hearts. So this same Moses, by the proper use of his mind, was able to synchronize his mind with heaven to the extent that he was able to download everything, the details of creation. Do you know that Genesis, Exodus, the first five Bible books were written by Moses? He was not there when God was making man. He was not there the first day, what God made the first day, but everything, he recorded it accurately. Up to now, the scientists have not been able to pull down any of those thoughts. Even the so-called evolutionary theory is still hanging around that. Hello? All the orders that was laid by Moses, they followed it. The only thing is that they didn't accept that, that it was God that put it into place. They said that something started it. Hello? If the mind of Moses was not sound, would he have been able to download all those things from heaven? No, sir. Thank you, Jesus. So, you can see that Moses excelled by the proper use of his mind. Thank you, Jesus. Look at another example. Daniel. Daniel, he was a researcher, a book addict. He was given to the word of God. He was always studying the word of God. The Bible said, be ye transformed, what? By the word of God. It is the word of God that is a tool that you can use to renew your mind. That's what I'm trying to say, the summary of it today. The soundness of your mind determines the soundness of your life. And your mind cannot be sound outside the word of God. So give attention to the word of God. That was what Jesus said, be careful what you hear. If you spend your time hearing negative, that's why when people send things to me, once I look at it, that it's not building, I delete it instantly. Instead of wasting my time looking at negative things. No. And you know, people are so quick to send you things that doesn't build anyway. You hardly see people sending you message of hope that you wake up early in the morning and say, yes, hallelujah, I'm going for this thing today. They will tell you that, they cut off somebody here somewhere. And that day you still demoralized and start thinking about it. Don't delete it. Don't spend time on that. Hallelujah. Don't spend your time on that. Spend your time on things that will build you. Like he said to Joshua, he said, let your eyes be glued to this word, to this law. He said, meditate in the law, not in what is happening in your nation. Because if you look at the circumstances of what is happening right now, you will even be scared. That's the truth. And from nation to nation, check the news. It's all about war, it's all about trouble, and this one was kidnapped, this one was... It's just not a good thing. Spend your time on the war. And that was what produced soundness of mind for Moses. He spent his time meditating on the war. Daniel, as busy as he was. Hello? And thank God for the nature of our jobs. And especially, we need to be very careful. That's the truth. That's one of the tricks that the devil is using these days. He gets us so busy, full of activities that our souls are suffering. Do not allow it, sir. Hello? That's why it is advisable to have scheduled time. Hello? For studying the world. Because it will come with all manner of excuses. Oh, today I'm busy, tomorrow I'm busy. By the time you start piling it and piling it, before you know what is happening, they will say, okay. They will quote one scripture. It will be as if you've never heard it before. Hallelujah. Amen. Judas was hanging around the word that became flesh. He still went to him. Because he was careless. He didn't control. When those thoughts are coming, Those strong go. He would have said, ah, Yeshua, you are what you said is true. There are thoughts coming to my mind that I should betray you. Help me. Okay, I will hold your leg. Hallelujah. You see, Daniel excelled. Bible said in Daniel chapter 9. Thank you, Jesus. He said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. He said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. So he was a book addict. Hallelujah. You can never separate a successful man. I mean, see a successful man who is not given to research or reading, both in and out of the kingdom. Have you ever seen someone that made first class who is not given to reading? Even where they do abracadabra, you still must read somehow. Hello? It's not possible. You know, there are some people that they are so gifted. Of course, they have photographic brain. They end up with second class. Maybe if he was very serious, would have finished as first class today. Hello? And so, give attention to the word. That's what we are talking about. Because Daniel became successful by the proper use of his mind. He lasted three regimes. He wasn't a preacher, really. He was just a civil servant. But every king that came, they say, ah, you can't be successful. Go and get this man. Because his mind is so rich. If he was mad, would they send for him? They are not playing, what do we call it? The comedy in the palace. They need somebody who is sound. Will you, if you are made the president of a nation, will you go and call a madman to be your minister? No. You won't do that. Thank you, Jesus. Look at David. Psalms 119, verse 97. David was given to high level of deep meditation on the word. That was why that young boy was not demoralized by what was happening around him. Psalms 119, verse 97. He said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all day. Thou through thy commandment hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. What is his testimony? Thy word. He gave attention to the word. Even when he became king, that was right. See, what you don't practice now, you won't be able to do it when you get. Because, you know, a lot of us, we think that now that we are busy, that when we get to higher level, we'll be less busy. It's not true. Hello? Those of us who are, managers, you will discover that. That's the truth. Some people think, okay, now that I have few kids, it's not true. But by the time they grow up now, I'll be able to free. It's not true. Because there are some things that will still come that will take your time at that time. And if you don't learn to give attention to the word now, when you get there, you won't give attention. That was why a man like David, even when he was a king, still had time. Bible said he used to go to the temple to praise God how many times? 7 times. Hello? He wasn't just a lazy man just saying, okay, I'm the king, I'm busy. No. He still set aside time. Look at if you go to visit a lot of our Muslim brothers, when it's time to do the thing on Friday, whether you are king, hello? They tell you, I want to go for prayer. But Christian will say, okay, we even had our Bibles. Don't let them see. We go have mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. The same chapter 119, verse 103. He said, how sweet. Psalms 119, verse 103. He said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This was a man that became a word addict. Chewing the word. When sitting down with the animal in the bush, he was always busy meditating. Do you know that most of the Psalms were written by him? By the proper use of his mind. What of Paul? Paul also, Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, when this man was in prison, look at the message he was sending to his people. He wasn't saying, okay, oh, please pray for me and cry for me so that I will be delivered. Look at the message he sent. He said, do thy diligence in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through to 13. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Damascus. So talking about these people, he said, only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me. And look at it in the ministry. He said, and Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. He said, bring the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus when thou comest. Bring with thee and the what? The books. And he said, but especially the parchment. So he was talking about the book of the law and his notes. So when he was in the prison, he was still reading, still making reference to books. No wonder he could write 75%. If his mind was not sound, would he have been able to write the Bible that you are reading today? Hello? If he was busy with television, if there was television at that time, if you look at the contemporary days today, they were asking Kenneth Copeland one time, he said, he buried himself in the book. That time he detached himself from his house and go to the garage and say, okay, this today, I must see the end of this book. I want us to pray. Lord, deliver me from carelessness in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Deliver me from carelessness, from mental carelessness especially, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, a little sleep, a little slumber, so shall thy poverty come. Deliver me, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, from mental slackness, from carelessness. Deliver me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Deliver me, O God, from mental carelessness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Deliver me. Have mercy on me, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, deliver me from mental carelessness, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Deliver me, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We will pray and say, Lord, breathe afresh upon my mental faculty. Like I said, he didn't give them any car in the garden. But the cars are already hidden in the ground, in the iron ore that he gave them. Hallelujah. He did not give them anything called table. Because the tables are already in the trees. So ability to see or the unseen is a product of the proper use of the mind. I want us to pray, Lord, breathe afresh upon my reasoning faculty. Breathe afresh upon my reasoning faculty in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That I will not reject your instruction. I will not reject what you have prepared for me. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Breathe upon my head, Lord. Breathe upon my head, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Breathe upon my head, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lastly, I want us to pray. The grace not to reject divine instructions. There are times when heaven will come and tell you to do something. Doesn't make sense. And like the scripture says, without thy mind, I can't do anything for you. If he brings it and you say, okay, it can't work. It can't work. In fact, science also proved that. It's an average human being within 24 hours. We get not less than, I think, 10,000 ideas or thereabout. But how many people make use of it? Hello? Have you ever seen a situation where you thought about something and you just look up and maybe the following day or the following year you saw somebody doing the same thing? Say, but I thought about it though. Have you been there before? People receive ideas. Do you know that this same thing that announced the Bill Gates to the world, where he was working, IBM said, no, it can never work. He was working for them then. They would have owned that thing. He said, I will put this into it, and this thing will work, and this, and they said, no, it can never work. And he pulled out. Now, all their computer carried his product. Hello? So God is breathing upon our listening faculty. He's giving us ideas. And somebody said, you know, don't allow anybody even to talk you down. Like I've told you, I said, when that idea comes, if you seem as if it's not working, write it down. And just put it down. And start praying over it. You will see how God will give you the wisdom to bring down that barrier. Hallelujah. But once your mind says, no, he can't walk, you go to somebody else. I pray for you today. You will not lose out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will not lose out to mental carelessness in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I decree today that the grace to engage the word of God for the renewing of your mind, receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. As the Lord liveth, you shall be the head and not the tail in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for your people today that the grace to engage the scripture for the actualization of our future, we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bible said that concerning Jesus, that he had favor with men and even with God. By the use of our minds, we shall have favor in our community in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray that the idea that will announce us to our world be released today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The ideas that will drag us to the pit of hell, we will not receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every step that we take that we will regret, that we bring down our destiny, we shall not take it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We receive the grace to discern the truth in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name. As we go about our assignment this week, the Bible says, suffer no one to do them wrong, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. No harm, no evil shall befall you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I cover you with the blood of Jesus. I cover your family with the blood of Jesus. You will not drop down and dead in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will not be found in the mortuary in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your children shall not be found in the mortuary in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Lord will give his angels charge over you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.